It's deja vu. This moment's happened before.
You have found the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Hello, and welcome to the Kaleidoscope Gallery. I'm your host, Paul. And alongside regular gallery contributors, Dave, Hans, and Leah, we will be exploring cannabis in the Canadian Parliament's House of Commons. Cannabinoid-soaked worms getting the munchies. Reality stars on Mars and in near space. And then, imagine you are about to embark on a journey to colonize another planet, leaving Earth forever. You have 2 days left on Earth. Where would you go? What would you do? Who would you see on your last days as an Earthling? So let's step into the first exhibit inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
This is the real action, the pot party. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite. Outside the boundaries of their phony world of kicks is the ever-present possibility of discovery. This must be avoided at all costs, for discovery brings with it the penalties of society: shame, arrest, prison. So destroy the evidence, leave not a trace, burn it in paper trash. That way they can deny possessing the illegal marijuana. They can say the flaming can is part of a game. They can lie. They can swear. This time the gang's lucky. It's not the law or discovery or problems. It's just their supplier, Pete, with his number one chick and a new guy looking for kicks. Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville.
Well, a candid interview with the leader of the Liberal Party sparked a lot of debate today. Senior correspondent Terry Molesky has the story.
Well, Ian, 20 years ago, it was big news when Bill Clinton said he'd tried pot but didn't inhale. Today, Canadians are mostly shrugging off Justin Trudeau's admission that he tried pot but not much.
North of the border tonight, recreational marijuana is now legal across Canada, and it comes not without controversy.
They started lining up before dawn, down the street, around the block, thousands of Canadians waiting hours to buy marijuana.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
But this is back in the time when, for example, cannabis wasn't legal. And for many Canadians who consumed cannabis at that time, there was a sense of slight paranoia because you were breaking the law. But then that law was changed. And now in Canada, cannabis is legal and you can buy it in retail stores, you know, for example, on Queen Street.
Every second store, actually. Well, I like that in Canada, they've taken it one step further. It's not just the cannabis stores. They have, like, the cannabis cafeterias. They have the cannabis canteens. Like, in the museum, instead of having a cafe at the end, there's a big cannabis cafe. Everybody just gets super baked and has brownies, buys an art book. Even in schools, not in the kids' areas, but in the teachers' lounge, it's a... There's a giant cannabis buffet, 9 or 10 hash bongs, and a bowl of Korean sauerkraut.
Wow! Yeah, and I heard on Parliament Hill, for example, when they're in session, there is like a designated cannabis smoking area, and you can frequently see the Prime Minister.
Yes, the whole. The whole House of Commons has 420. They just shut down the question period and they have smoking period.
I have a question for the Honorable Leader of the Opposition. Can you pass the joint, please?
The Honorable Leader of the Opposition.
I don't know about you, Dave, but when you consume cannabis, do you get the so-called munchies? You know, like a craving for certain foods?
It is not just humans that get the munchies. Worms also display the same craving for their favorite snacks after consuming cannabis, new research has found. In the study, published in the journal Current Biology, researchers managed to simulate worms getting stoned by soaking them in cannabinoid. It is not known whether the worms got high, but they did display a stronger preference for higher calorie foods, just as humans crave junk food after taking cannabis.
Worms crave junk food after consuming cannabis, study suggests. Worms soaked in cannabinoid found to have a stronger preference than usual for high calorie foods like pizza, for example.
I mean, how do they know they're craving junk foods? It's only after they like soak them in cannabinoids that they hand them a bag of Cheetos or whatever. The rest of the time they're eating worm food. Where are the controls in this experiment? And how high was the person who designed this experiment? The person who designed the experiment is soaking himself in cannabinoids, taking a whole cannabinoid bath.
Yeah, like a cannabinoid shower, just bathing.
And like a terpene vapor room, terpene sauna. Terpene steam room is what it would have to be.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Terpene steam room would be very interesting.
I feel like that there's a lot of, you know, business opportunities there that have not been fully exploited. And rather than just your basic, boring retail, a sauna, a spa, a whole spa. Is that what they're doing at the Ontario place? I know there's going to be a spa there. They're incorporating some of that. Ontario
place! It's just huge inside.
Immense. Well,
the Sinister is different. Screams of excitement.
For the kids in Children's Village.
Children have a lot of fun.
Ontario Place opens for summer family fun this weekend.
Ontario Place, more fun every day.
Imagine a place reimagined unlike any other. Welcome to Therma Canada Ontario Place.
The latest revision for the future of Ontario Place, with its massive indoor water park and spa, has raised concerns about access for all.
I just don't think that a lot of people who actually live here would be able to use it.
New plans to be presented to Waterfront Toronto's design review panel shows what looks more like an indoor resort than the outdoor public space, once considered a destination for Toronto residents and visitors across the province.
Doug Ford's Ontario Place. Well, Doug Ford has a long history in the sheesh business, I believe. Or at least that's what the rumor has. So I'm sure he's considered that in the design of his spa and casino or wherever it is.
Oh, okay. So Ontario's premier, Doug Ford, it was rumored that when he was a kid that he was like the sort of the go-to local hashish dealer at his high school. And it was kind of well known that he had the best hash. And now he's the premier of Ontario. He's still, as you say, he's got to have some kind of interest in the hashish.
Everyone's got some interest in the hashish.
Tonight, there are accusations involving the family of Toronto's mayor. The Globe and Mail claims Rob Ford's brother, another politician, was involved in the drug trade. The Ford political dynasty is denying the accusations.
We found 10 sources that all detailed Doug Ford's role as a hash dealer in Etobicoke in the 1980s.
No, I don't know where it all comes down and what's real and what isn't, but
yeah.
I do know that he thinks outside the box when it comes to hash. I believe in the Ontario Cannabis Store, there's over 40 kinds of hash to choose from. It's got to be the best hash selection in the world.
40? Yeah, that's a lot.
But this worm story sounds like a total hokum. Like, why do they even care? Is there nothing better to study than, like, do worms get munchies?
This is the most realistic celebrity Mars colony simulation ever created.
Hey, do I look like a real astronaut?
Yeah. I'm William Shatner at Mission Control. Our celebrity has embarked on a daring mission to outer space, living 24/7 in our hyper-realistic Mars habitat in a social experiment unlike anything else on television. They've all come here to prove that they have what it takes to survive.
I didn't come here to play. I came here to win.
Only one will make it to the end. Will they survive?
He's still alive!
Will they thrive?
Oh, we have a squeegee? Come
on. The mental side of this is torture.
If you need anything at all, anything, you're completely on your own. Stars on Mars.
So someone in the casting room is like, oh, we got to get Neil Armstrong. They say, you can't get Neil Armstrong there. Well, let's get Lance Armstrong then.
Oh my God. So, okay, you've seen celebrities dance, you've seen them dress up in silly costumes and sing, but you've never seen them pretend to go to space until now. So basically, hosted by Star Trek legend William Shatner, it takes all these kind of like celebrities and places them in a reality show situation on a fake Mars, like simulating the idea that they'd be colonists on Mars. But if this show is successful and it goes for, you know, like some shows for like 10, 15 years, eventually, do you think it will actually end up on Mars? The real Mars?
Oh, I would think probably within 20 years, it'll be on the real Mars. Like first, we got to get there. Before we send Christopher Mintz-Plasse, we need to send a couple real astronauts. Actually, it might be interesting to send Christopher Mintz-Plasse first.
Christopher,
he's going to be on the show.
Yeah.
Can you picture this guy?
I don't know.
He's McLovin from Superbad.
Of course, William Shatner's involved in this too, though.
Well, he really did go into space. He's no longer just an actor. He's the only astronaut they have on there. And he cried when he landed.
Oh my God, that's true.
William Shatner, back on Earth after hitching a ride aboard Blue Origin, the rocket company owned by Jeff Bezos. This is the moment that the Star Trek legend, the original Captain Kirk, experienced zero gravity after setting a new record as the oldest person in space at 90 years young. And it is what he said when he came back down that made me want to invite him on the show. Listen to this.
What you have given me is the most profound experience I can imagine. I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened. I just, it's extraordinary.
I don't know, though, did it count where he went on Blue Origin, right? And they just made it to the subspace?
Yeah, near space.
Near space? I like their uniforms. It's going to be great, you know. I don't know. Those reality shows, they just have a formula. Now it's just the most outrageous premise because you know it's going to be the same show. But like if the premise is outrageous enough, people will still tune in.
It's basically still it's basically Big Brother. It's a house, but in this case, it's fake Mars colony. Some people are going to melt down.
So, okay, they live in a base camp. With two shared bedrooms, of course, that's going to be where the real action is. A base commander suite, a gym. That's where they get worked up before they go to the shared bedrooms.
What's the base commander?
I don't know. They don't explain that. Or maybe they do later. But and a biodome with fresh herbs and plants. Yeah, I'm gonna season my plants with herbs. That's going to make them. They're going to have a great meal with some parsley on carrot. Did they just pick actors that could be convinced that they actually were in space? They just say, okay, find me the actors that we can tell them we're attaining space. We're gonna put them to sleep, and 3 days later, we're going to wake them up in this. They'll actually think they're on Mars. Perhaps the only way this thing really is entertaining is if you actually convince the cast that they're on Mars.
That is a great idea, Dave. I mean, it might not be ethical. It might not even be legal. But as you say, you could pretend, you can convince them to get into a spaceship and maybe simulate a 3-month long trip to Mars.
That's why they all got on that ship that fateful morning. William Shatner guided them up the stairs. They went inside that ship. He sat them down. He put on the seatbelts. He's like, don't worry. Richard Branson came in and gave him the thumbs up because he was driving. Then they injected him with Rohypnol or some shit. Put him down, made their memories go. Woke them up in a sound studio, probably just for laughs, the same one they used to fake the landing on the moon. And said, you're here for life. And get used to each other. Now, like, they thought it was going to be rough, but they're all just getting along like gangbusters. Like, Christopher Mintz-Plasse and Lance Armstrong are riding around, like, doing mountain biking together. And Bruce Willis's daughter and William Shatner are developing, like, grandpa kind of relationship. He's giving her wisdom. And I forget who else was in there. Marshawn Lynch, was it? Football player. He's playing catch with some of the other folks that are there. And everybody thought Mars was going to be the most interesting reality show, but really everybody just banded together. But here's the catch. Like, on episode 10, William Shatner comes out and he goes, hey, guess what, everybody? You're not actually on Mars. You're still on Earth. And then they go at each other's throats, and it's full-on reality show betrayals, and everything goes fucking haywire. And what it shows is that Mars is truly a place of extreme peace, and Earth is a place of extreme tumult and turmoil and trouble every day. But Mars, there's just not enough people for trouble. If you have, like, six folks and you know, Bruce Willis is coming over for Christmas and the Sheryl Crow is coming to see Lance Armstrong at the summer solstice. It's just a beautiful, happy kind of Hollywood family. All those beautiful people.
It's sort of like a Gilligan's Island in a sense.
Yes, they got along so well.
Yeah.
Once they were stranded.
And they put on concerts?
Yeah.
But if there was a real reality show on Mars, I guess, because if you were really living on Mars, Dave, there'd be a lot of drama. A lot of drama.
Well, because you're in these, like, enclosed spaces all the time. And when you leave the enclosed spaces, you're in an enclosed suit, and there's no distractions, and there's no way home.
You are inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
From this distant vantage point, the Earth might not seem of any particular interest. But for us, it's different. Consider again that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there, on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam.
Let's say that you decided that yes, you're going to be one of the first colonists on Mars. And you're getting ready to leave the Earth for the last time. There's no coming back. In other words, it's your last 2 days as an Earthling. You can go anywhere. You can do anything on this Earth, but you only have 2 days left to do it. What would you choose to do on your last 2 days as an Earthling?
Just like take like 6 grams of mushrooms and maybe at your cottage or something. And then like just like biggest feast ever. Have like the best feast and like a gigantic campfire. It's just like experience just the end before like the most intense shift of a new chapter. That's like the landing. That's like the transitory kind of like padding for the great shift.
So you'd be specifically appreciating what, like the foods?
Yeah, just food, nature.
And what was the part about, because 6 grams, did you say 6 grams?
Yeah.
6 grams, that's a lot. Yeah, yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Probably like the day after would be like the food. Like the next day, reborn. Like you get like the whole like, you know that the Christmas Carol or whatever, Bob Cratchit like visits, is visited by like the ghosts of Christmas past, present, future, and all that shit.
Yeah, Scrooge.
I just get Scrooged and then be like, life's worth living. And then we just like eat the biggest feast ever, and then just fucking ship it off.
But also with 6 grams of mushrooms, it might be considered like you might have visions, or you might have like a...
Yeah.
It might be like a vision quest kind of
all
thing.
That is into, yeah. All that is into interpretation of the events to come.
So just to get, but what would you be alone when you do this? No, because you're talking about a feast. I imagine that means other people would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, no, I mean, just at least the four of us.
But like, really, would you not have like a great gathering of people around you for your last day on Earth?
I don't know. I think like that would make it sadder, maybe.
Hmm. Well, I tell you what, Hans, if you ever do want to do that, it's yes, you could absolutely do it at the cottage. No problem.
This is the end. My only friend. The end. This is the end.
My own personal answer is something to do with just being up on top of a mountain, like a really, really high mountain, and just looking at the Earth from as highest point as possible, I guess.
Yeah. And you'd have like a drone shot of you standing up there, and it's like a U2 song playing in the background. A moment above enough. A moment. And it'll be like, join Good Life Fitness for $10 a month. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, man, though, for sure. I mean, it's all about, like, I guess, achieving some kind of appreciative, like, vast, intense perspective that will, like, carry with you or something. I don't know, but there's no right or wrong answer.
No, actually, I think, yeah, and it's interesting to know what each person would think about that, because we are essentially bound to the Earth in life. with some exceptions, of course, of going off the planet, but you know, we very much are Earthlings, and to think about the idea of forever leaving it while being alive is makes one wonder what it is that you'd really want to savor, or like, you know, the sunsets or whatever it may be, or oceans. Yeah, I'd miss it for sure. But I'm not moving to Mars anytime soon. I'm not one of those. I'm not volunteering.
It's like, welcome to Mars. Here's our theme song. It's like, nah, 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 nah. And it's like the guy from Firefest. He's like, ah, bitch, you made it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's like, apparently there's a reality show that they're putting to Fox, I believe, is putting together, where it puts like kind of like B-list and C-list celebrities into like a fake Mars colony. But it's kind of simulating the conditions of being on Mars, and somehow a reality contest, reality show. William Shatner is somehow like the, and he's going to be judging them, I think.
He's got the character. He's a character. So, you know, people listen to him. He's got shit to say.
And he's been to space recently, and with Jeff Bezos.
Did he go with bring a deep fried turkey with him, or?
I'm going up into space. I don't know how many people can say that. It's life-changing in its way.
That's what I thought. You have to work on it. It's so hard to describe.
You have to work on it because not only is it different than what you thought, it happened so quickly.
Oh, my God! First time.
You know what
Get out of here, people!
The impression I had that I never expected. Is he shooting up?
Oh my God!
Give me this loose game bottle. Come here.
That's dude. Those guys. You don't envy them, man. They have such a distorted view of like what makes them happy. It's bad news, man. I wouldn't wish that shit on my worst enemy. Just think of like all the experiences they have. And how they don't feel anything from them. It's like when you achieve a certain amount of like intense success, you experience everything. And then there's nothing left except to like be on the treadmill, pedantic treadmill of more success. And that success feeling comes shorter and shorter durations.
You are listening to The Kaleidoscope Gallery. The Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Intergalactic flight number 14 now loading at ramp 10. Intergalactic flight number 14 now loading at ramp 10. Please have your flight validation.
You walk from the waiting room down the long ramp number 10. The flight pack is in one hand, the validation papers in the other. Other passengers chatter behind you. You turn a corner, and there's the ship. A cylinder of glistening silver aimed at the moon. You feel yourself carried up the moving stair to the gaping entrance lock. A pretty stewardess in a blue uniform smiles at you.
Validation papers, please? Your papers, madam.
Oh, papers? Oh, yes, here they are.
Leah, I know you well, and I don't think that you would be a volunteer. Or would you be a volunteer to colonize a far distant planet? Now, right now, that's not possible for us as humans, but if it were, do you think that you would actually volunteer to be a colonist on another faraway planet?
Good question. I don't know. It's possible. It could be quite the adventure. Maybe I'm 79 and super healthy and getting sick of the Earth scene. Don't have, you know, many earthly attachments that are keeping me, making me feel really, you know, grounded. And it's not for some silly billionaire's ego.
Or a reality show.
Yeah. And I'm not going to be 150,000 years old when we get there. Yeah, I can see it.
In if the circumstances were right, you'd be willing to, in a sense, give up your earthling citizenship and move to a completely different planet and a completely different solar system, never to return to Earth again. Okay, and so now it's 2 days before you leave Earth, never to return. And you could go anywhere, do anything on this planet. What would you do? Where would you go?
There would be time spent on Lake Huron. There would be a beach fire on Lake Huron with closest friends and family from the Americas, the western part of the world. Yeah. Lots of veggies would be roasted. Big beach fire, swimming in the evening, lots of good coolers, ciders, and laughs. And then there would be a dip in with everyone from the Asian side of the world, and anyone from yourself and anyone else who wants to come in Kanlungun, in the cove. In Pang Lao, that little island off from Tagbilaran, which is the capital of Bohol, which is this province island where my mother was born in the Philippines. There's a small beach cove called San Isidro, called Kanlungun. Anyways, there would be a good dip there, maybe a potluck, you know, Filipino-style potluck picnic. Lunch and dip in the ocean there. Smell some of the flowers. So, you know, there's beautiful, beautiful flowers growing in trees. Drink calamansi juice and maybe some green mango juice. And
So you're talking about two places on Earth, in particular, two very particular mm-hmm. places, because when you mentioned Lake Huron, you're talking about your family cottage there. Very specific spot.
Yeah.
And then in Pang Lao, in San Isidro in the Philippines. It's a very small little cove with a tiny beach on it, but those are the two places you'd be, and you'd be with family and friends.
Yeah, eating and drinking and having fun.
Other than these places that you, those personal power spots that you mentioned, where else would you go and see?
If I haven't done it already to my satisfaction, the thing I'd be doing before I leave and without the 2 day restriction is traveling my face off nonstop to any place that I have wanted to see on this earth. And that could take me at least a year of nonstop travels. So yeah, those last 2 days, it's precious. You want to be with the people and in the places that you love the most and that have the most meaning and intergenerational roots and, you know, future. Like, it's just your spirits there, you know what I mean? Like, across time and space. And so even when I'm living wherever, planet Beta, there's still some part of me is, you know, part of these places too. Just like the ancestors who've gone on are still part of these places.
But can we think of a better name than planet Beta?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, please, let's definitely come up with something better than Planet Beta. Let's see. Wonder.
Planet Wonder. Well, it's a wondrous planet. Where are you from? Oh, I'm a wondering. I'm a wanderer?
I'm from Wonder.
Hans was saying, he said a similar thing to you in that he would gather friends and have a great meal, laugh, sing songs, whatever. But he also mentioned that he'd want to do a psychedelic, shamanistic kind of ritual by taking, in this case, he was talking about psilocybin, which is or magic mushrooms. As Hans is bidding Earth farewell for the last time, he wants to have a psychedelic or shamanistic interaction with the Earth or its environs. What do you make of that?
Yeah. I love it. I love the idea. I definitely want to incorporate it into my last 2-day plan.
You mean a psychedelic or a shamanistic?
Ceremonial. I think there's lots of different ways to achieve visions, sweat lodges or fires and, yes, various substances or
chants,
songs, drums. You name it, there's ways, but I would like it to be, in Bohol, there's the little women in black that still carry the roots of the special tree roots and oil that, and who knows what they do there, but I know people who can probably put us in touch and that would be interesting. And
you're talking about shamanistic practices in the Philippines, the woman in what?
Little woman in black. So I indirectly saw a ceremony when my mother was building a medical clinic on land, Canlongun, same place where I said we would go and have a party. Though I'm kind of thinking maybe some of it might have to be Alona just for space, more bigger beach. Yeah, it could start in Canlongun and then move to Alona with the big, get the people with the fire. They're these amazing with drums and fire jugglers. Oh my gosh, with the live drumming and stuff, they're great. So that's for the later in the evening. But there are still practices in Bohol and other parts of the Philippines, but Bohol is what I can speak to. There are still some people that practice indigenous spiritual, but very practical ceremonies and other practices. So those practices still exist in Bohol to some degree.
Some of these ceremonies would, as you hinted at, would include something akin to a vision quest or a psychedelic experience, and so you would go, and that would be one of the things that you had to do before you left Earth, like that.
I would like to do one that is specific to Ontario, Canada. So the Lake Huron party with all of the North American and Western, because I would invite everyone. It's, you're on two ends of the earth, these parties, right? So yeah, I'm not just inviting people from Ontario to the party on Lake Huron. I'm inviting everybody who's in this side of the hemisphere, on this half of the planet.
So Leah, the last couple of days on Earth for you, they're going to be fully lit. Like you're going out like with a bang.
I like the ceremony idea, yoga for sure. I would totally plan out these days, so maximum meaning, and every you're squeezing every second, matters. So this will be, I'll be sleeping on the flight, I'll be taking first class to get to the Philippines party. If we don't have, some kind of teleportation thing going on.
Or our ultrasonic jet or whatnot that will get you there in like an hour and a half.
There we go.
One of the last things I would like to do before I leave the Earth is take a really awesome plane ride and see the Earth from above.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, part of the year plus of traveling ahead of time, there'll be helicopter rides over, Victoria Falls, and it's going all out, man. I mean, every fantasy of, the Nazca lines, if I can handle not vomiting in the little Cessna or whatever. But no, I mean, you're splashing out. You're doing everything you've ever, Glastonbury tour.
Yeah, there's a ton of things, isn't there, really? A ton of places.
Oh, there's so many. That's what I'm saying. The actual, travel and see everything you've ever been curious. Like, I guess definitely Ireland, like the cliffs of what are they called? Moher, the really those unbelievable cliffs. It has to go. I would only want to go on a not windy day because I want to get as close as I can as possible.
Where is it?
That is Ireland. That's on, I think, the West Coast. Yeah, Cappadocia, the Blue Mosque.
Oh, I would have to do one more go on the Maid of the Mist. Actually, it's called the Hornblower. Isn't it called the Hornblower in Canada? Normally confused with the Maid of the Mist, which is the American side. But if you've never done this, anyone who's... If you are in the Canadian side of the Niagara Falls, go on the Hornblower. Boat that drives right up so close to the falls. You are... And it's absolutely mesmerizing, spellbinding, awesome, thunder-strikingly amazing.
The other trip, the other one that'll get you wet, is the ride on the Maid of the Mist. This takes you past the American Falls, runs up close to the Canadian Falls, and floats back downstream to everyone's relief.
Highly recommended. Time stands still.
You experience the paradox. You experience the moment. There is so much thundering, moving water that it stops moving. That it looks like it's just, it's...
It seems to stand still, yet it's moving so ferociously. It's such, with such turbulence. Yet it seems like it's falling in slow motion. And then at times it seems that it freezes.
It seems like it's not moving at all. So stand at the front of the Hornblower, put on the plastic
rain poncho.
The plastic poncho that, because you will get wet.
When you go to Niagara Falls, you always see, you look down and you see the boat, like just see a bunch of blue people just ready to get their minds blown.
Wrapped up in their plastic poncho.
Yeah.
But yeah, you go stand at that front of the nose of that boat. The bow of the boat, and you stand and stare at that water. And yes, it's amazing how close they get, and it's safe as all get out. You don't feel you're in danger. They do it all the time.
That's just my personal tip to anyone who's leaving Earth, any Earthling, all Earthlings, go to Niagara Falls and the Hornblower.
Anyway. Line up. That's worth adding into the 2 days.
And it's also good, it would be good to survey people from all over the world and ask them what they recommend in their country as a must see. And you'd get that would help you narrow down the list in a sense, you know?
That's a great idea. So every place that you're going to, because it's someplace you really wanted to go to, and there's certain spots there you knew you wanted to go to, you asked somebody that you think has good vibes, what they recommend is, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Now we've really built out a plan. Sorry, I've extended the 2 days to a little over a year. The 2 days is now becoming like, start the dawn with yoga. Do the ceremony. And then prepare the fires.
Before we part, let me leave you with a paraphrased quote from astronaut Edgar Mitchell, one of the few among us to witness the Earth from space, where he says, "I had completed my major task for going to the moon and was on my way home. And was observing the heavens and the earth from this distance. The magnificence of all of this was a trigger to a vision. All matter in our universe is created in star systems. And so, the matter in my body, the matter in the spacecraft, the matter in my partner's bodies, was the product of stars. We are stardust, and we are all one in that sense." We hope you've enjoyed this excursion through the Kaleidoscope Gallery, and that you'll join us again next time.
You have been listening to the Kaleidoscope Gallery.